this thing. Well done.
Leslie knows what it is, and she's kind of...
I got it. Yeah. Okay. It's the...
I do.
I'm not even sure what she's thinking.
Thank you.
There's no problem. Proposed contract that was never
executed. Because of that, we get this other thing.
Thank you.
And the registration services manager is working with...
And it became Appendix A of the contract that was never even sent to the bank.
Right.
I have that on my screen right now. It's a contract that the RIR boards talked about.
Right.
Two of them went one way.
Right.
Two of them went the other.
Right.
But Appendix A of that is the RSM's SLA requirements.
Right.
It says, upon a certain number of days...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I will get that extracted, that appendix.
Yes.
Extract and defend for the discussion.
Yeah, because that's the exact document you're talking about. I don't want somebody to go out and defend something. I know you won't let that happen.
Right, no, I found that. We actually have been using parts of it anyway, but I found actually the full discussion. The reason it didn't anyway is because ultimately it was decided. Ultimately, a couple of the owners said, if this thing's going to get signed between I can't let it go, we need to incorporate it in our hip.
Right, right.
And then we hit the ice on incorporating the NRO.
But I remember at one point in time that separate RSM document was actually signed by Paul Kuhn.
I don't.
Yes, so, I remember him doing it. I remember him doing it in my office.
So I'll do archaeology with Leslie and Margaret because.
But
this
as long as you got that, because that's
I
what,
think,
they, so that's, what the, that's what they're working with. It did.
Okay, but I don't know if I have the RSM document.
Well, you're right. If you got that, you don't need it.
All right, I'm going to take this out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to circulate it among the RIRs, and then I'll try to get it out on mailing or something. Because it's definitely, it's unsigned, but definitely, I mean, it's specific service language. It says, your phone request is to take the following days, and it's business days, blah, blah, blah. I remember seeing it, and I was like, but it was unsigned, so I didn't know where it went.
Yeah.
It was because this was to be signed by the NRO, the NRO Incorporation Protocol.
But I don't want to have that because even if you want to start something new, they're playing bobblehead and green.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, I've been talking to Paul Wilson about this.
Okay, good. So, did you like what I started on the old chart? Anybody else this morning?
It's gotten to a level where I cannot keep a straight face.
Well, Mike said that thing about putting it in a spreadsheet. I sent him back a private email. That was the last time, thing I've had time since I've been on email. I said, that's not even funny.
No, it's not. Just push it into my head.
I know, and that's an immersion you've got to fight, because the thing is that with the other people that you deal with, as soon as you say that, well, people show up and talk. The thing is that everybody else is used to being beat in the head about like trying to get into the GNS old policy process. And there, it's like, you want to participate, here's a mail list, get on and start talking. And you know, people aren't used to that. They have trouble understanding what you're saying. I remember when we conducted an iron meeting in Tanzania, in Dar es Salaam. We were talking about just getting people to talk. we contribute. So we'll pop the other stuff in the thing. And finally,
caller on the phone, can you hear me? Can anybody hear me on the phone? Okay, great. We're all set for you.
Okay, so the only thing you should be hearing right now is my voice. Is that clear to you and loud enough?
So if you're going to an athlete, you find that they are very, very vocal. That just opened the floodgates for them.
Yes, absolutely. It's just right now there's people coming in and out of the room, so all microphones apart from the one I'm using are switched off. But you will hear everything that's happening in the room. Okay? Great. Thank you.
So, yeah, there's that kind of inertia that you overcome. So, I don't know where the education part comes from, comes to play as far as what we need to do with the.
Yeah.
Well, they're always going to come in midstream, possibly, because. Yeah. And so, but I wasn't talking about when somebody gets talked to. I was talking more about how to really get that functional thought across factor. You are welcome to get, but the people have to understand that the other side of that is that you get up and say something, somebody disagrees with you, they're going to be quite vocal about it. And some people are very sensitive to that. And when you get into those sessions, like in North America, quite open and direct. Say what you think. It scares you if you're not used to it. But once you get used to it, you really don't see why you can't do that all the time.
In a way, it's good that it's sort of regionally differentiated.
Yeah.
If you try to accommodate the culture of the region, in some ways you're still big, and there's a difference in culture. That's probably.
Well, that's always what's so fun to watch AP NICU.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I've got to go to the BWD now. It's in Constellation.
Hey, 1, 2, 2, 2.
Constellation.
Two,
last email
two.
I got. Was that it's in the Constellation. That's where I'm going.
actually, if there are questions, it would be good to have us. If, and if there,
okay, and there I can do something. No, so I can back you up.
Yeah. Vice chair. Yeah, that would be helpful. Sure.
No,
it's fine.
Is it slightly better for me? Because I'm left-handed and I don't want to be able to read it.
Oh, but so am I. So it's
right? It's even better.
Yeah.
Morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Decided to call for tea and sympathy.
Are you here to be sympathetic, or are you expecting sympathy? Are you bringing sympathy? Or
bringing the sympathy. Always full of sympathy. And maybe I get some in return.
You never know.
Yeah, we're looking at getting started in just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
the problem. If it was, bar anyway, I was forced right, to so sit in the bar and have an extra drink, so you know.
We should try and figure out what we're going to say later.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Please, miss, I want to talk to you before TLG so I can figure out what the hell I'm doing. Okay.
I don't think there's anything.
Okay. Many. I'm
going to figure out what things you and Yone would like to say, but can't do this before you are. And if Yone is not,
I
want
to. Okay, I will find one job or whatever.
A matching purple coach still going to because
no.
Karen does.
No. What I have
give
is
her a hard time about it. She's all this.
I have purple reading glasses, though.
Oh.
You should make more RSEC people sit there. Make a show of force.
Or something.
Well, maybe we can meet right after this meeting.
Yeah, maybe so.
So we're sure not to miss it.
Okay, I'll just...
I'm going to do after this meeting what I do after the first working
day. Come join us, if you like. Come join us.
Okay.
Or stay there, whatever you like. I don't care.
All right, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for keeping my chair warm for me.
Oh, yes.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you would take your seats, please. We're about to start.
I think you need to get closer to the mic.
Do I need to... Can you hear me? Is this mic working?
No.
No, it is not. Okay. Because it's turned on. It getting better? Should I try a different microphone? This one.
Two.
This one.
Two. One. Two. Two.
There seems to be some kind of sound in this microphone, at least, because I can hear myself from the back here.
We have found you.
Oh, excellent. You're most welcome, sir.
I'm never that far away.
I have the monitor speaker in my ear. Do you hear me over the speakers now? Okay, excellent. So, good morning, everyone. This is the Root Service System Advisory Committee public meeting. My name is Lars Johan Lehmann. I'm one of the co-chairs for the Root Service System Advisory Committee. I normally work with a company called NetNode. Closer to the mic, okay. We operate one of the root name servers. This is when I need to figure out where my clicker is here. I hope my voice is going to carry me through this. I did not attend the music night yesterday. You still can't hear me. Okay. Yeah, because... So there... So should we go for a different version then?
Is this thing on? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller?
Maybe. We have 80 people in the back.
Well, will this help us?
Not yet.
Translation, everything to the world and records.
do need to speak into this microphone. The problem is for us to get through by putting this
right
thing.
Right.
And if you end up walking away from it while I push it up, that's what the feedback is.
So to be really close is the thing here, yes. Because then you don't have to, it's
but
not
it,
the sensitive, okay?
Stand forward away from the
yeah, that was...
No, it's fine, it's fine. Just,
okay.
Just be very close to the remote.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try again. We're having some issues with the audio here. I'm informed that the public address system... The large public address system in the room does not work, but the microphones work, and obviously it works with the translators. So if you have the little headphones, they will repeat what I say in English and also in other languages. So for those of you who are listening on the network, we're trying to work with what audio resources we have here to create better sound in the room. But I'll try to get started slowly. So I usually start with a few slides about RSAC. Usually there are one or two newcomers in the room, and just to explain that RSAC is the Root Server System Advisory Committee. We are a committee, an advisory committee to the board, and we typically advise board on matters relation to the operation, administration, security, and integrity of the Internet's root server system as a whole. It's not only the specific servers, it's the entire chain of technically generating the root zone file and distribute that to the root server system and then publish it. Now, you should note that this is a very narrow scope. It's very easy to confuse us with the System Stability and Security and Stability Advisory Committee, which has a much wider scope. They're a much larger committee, they have much more on their plate. We're a fairly small committee, and we have a very narrow focus. But we do sit next to the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, so we're here in the general plan of ICANN. And we do participate as one of the advisory committees in the various ICANN-related fora. So, for instance, we do participate in the NTIA stewardship transition discussions, the coordination working group for that, and also in the various accountability discussions. We try to be present and approachable, at least when it comes to general multi-stakeholder discussions. There's lots of stuff going on out there, developing policies and advice. We are a very small committee, so we have very small resources, but we try to use them as best we can, and as you will see in later slides, we're trying to build up a bigger foundation of people that we can look to help us to convey information and participate in other fora. Of course, we also interact with the board. We have a liaison on the board. This is Susanne Wolf here to my left. We do advise the board, participate in the board discussions and so on. And we also have a member on the ICANN's nominating committee. Those of you who have been following us have probably learned that RSAC has undergone a rather big reorganization that is now in place. We are now operating with this new organization. So we have the RSAC, which is a formal committee, which consists of appointed representatives from the root server operators. There are 13 letters for root servers, but there are 12 organizations. We have alternates to these. I will talk about them later. And we also have liaisons to various other bodies and organizations. The new thing in this new organization is the caucus. Since RSAC only has 12 formal members and then I think it's 5 or 6 liaisons, it's a very small group. The caucus is intended to be a bigger body of volunteer subject matter experts, which we can interact with, ask for help to produce documents, and so on. And that's a group of people that RSEC appoints. Yeah, and right, in that capacity we have Joe Abley, who is, as I'll mention later, one of the document leaders for a document that we're working on. We have, after long and hard work, produced a set of procedures, operating procedures and principles that we use in our work. This has been a long-standing problem. We haven't had any procedures, formal procedures, to work along, and we're now have documented procedures. We know how to do, and this helps us bring work forward in a much better way than we've done before. So, in these procedures, it's described what RSAC, the formal committee, does, which roles it fulfills, and they are to select and keep track of work items. And when we've identified work items, things we need to address, think of, maybe write documents about, come to conclusions, make statements, whatever. We have we have a tool here by creating work parties from the caucus. We can solicit volunteers from this group of subject matter experts who can help us to investigate and write documents. The work parties in the caucus will eventually produce results from the work, and it's also the smaller formal committee's role to take formal action with the results that come from the caucus and the work parties. And this could be to take the formal decision to publish a document or issue a recommendation to the board or various such things. We also appoint and accept liaisons in the formal committee, and also the internal procedures, of course, of electing co-chairs and to create our own processes and procedures. This is all documented in a document that we refer to as RSAC 777. Sorry, it's 000. You can find it at that link if you want to. This is the link that goes to a list of publications. So you can see there what we published, but that is that document is very prominent in that list. Currently, the co-chairs are Professor June Murai, who unfortunately couldn't be here at this meeting, and myself. And we sit, we have 2-year terms staggered, so that there's always a senior chair who can bring the new chair into the working procedures and so on. And the RSEC members are appointed, one from each root server organization. You can see the list here. And these are then confirmed by the board. They're appointed by their respective organizations and then confirmed by the board. Of these, counting off the top of my head, 1, 2, 3. We have 6 of these represented here at this ICANN meeting.
People should raise their hands.
Yeah, why not? Those of you who are members of the RSAC committee, why don't you raise your sure hand? So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the room here. And these members also have alternates. It's turned out that, as usual, you cannot attend all the telephone conferences or all the meetings. And since we are a very small committee, we depend on information flow from the committee to the committee members. We sometimes have important decisions to make, and we need then a quorum to be able to vote. So we have created a system of alternates, where every member can have an alternate member from the same organization who steps in and votes in case the regular participant is unable to. These alternates participate in the meetings regularly to stay informed, so that they can actually fulfill their role in case of the regular member being unable to. So they take part in the discussions and all the information flows, but only one member per organization is allowed to vote. Now, voting is a thing we do very seldom, but it does happen. We do it for publication of documents, election of people, and so on. We have liaisons to the various root administration functions. So we have to the IANA functions operator, which is the IANA department at ICANN. This is Elise Gehrig. Oops, I'm sorry, there's a typo there. Sorry, Elise. It should say Elise, not Elsie. Dwayne Wessels from VeriSign for the Roots owner maintainer role. There is also a member from the NTIA for the IANA functions administrator. And according to the US government principles, they do not name an individual person. So we often see Ashley Heineman in that role, but she's not formally appointed by that government. They say we send someone, and that's fine. This works well for us. We also have liaisons with the Internet Architecture Board. This is Marc Blanchet, and with ESSAC, with whom we often share concerns or look at similar problems. So Russ Mundy fills that for us, and we also have Suzanne here, who is the board to the liaison to the board. As I mentioned, the caucus, the purpose of the caucus is to be a pool of experts who can help us to produce documents, and we created this to widen the pool of expertise that we can draw from. The 12 people in the organization and the liaisons is still a very limited group. We needed a wider footprint. We needed to generate some critical mass and a broader spectrum of input. We also would like to increase the transparency of who does what work. So in order for that to be more apparent, every member of the caucus has to produce a statement of interest saying why that person wants to participate and what other roles, what other hats they wear. And the caucus also has a framework for getting the work done, how to select document leaders and deadlines and results and so on. We have a process for where we generate a scope document, which is the specification for what work we request volunteers to do, so they know what they're buying into. Caucus members are all members of RSAC, plus others appointed by RSAC. And they also get credit for work they do. If you, as a caucus member, participate in writing a document, your name is on that document as a contributing member. From the committee, we hand the caucus work items, but I said as I said, we have clearly scoped documents, clearly defined scope documents, so that they know what the task at hand is. And this is something that we also revisit during the work, so that we can see that it's reasonable what we the task that we give them, and that it still fits. If there are things that are found underway, that we can amend this scope document if we need to, but that there is at least an outset, a well-defined document. We ask for volunteers, and from the volunteers we select one or two document leaders who will lead the process of creating the document, who will lead the discussions, keeping track of issues, making sure the document is edited, and so on. And this is all very result-oriented. We also have the ability to include dissenting opinions. If there is a majority, but not unanimity for a certain opinion to be expressed, people who participate from the caucus or members of the formal committee can state their dissenting opinion and have that listed in the document, so that it becomes apparent for people who read it. I think this is when we hope to get Tripti Sinha, who is one of the members of the committee and also a member of the caucus membership committee, to get in and continue the presentation. Tripti is the member appointed by University of Maryland, who operates the DRoot server, and I hope that she is able to speak to us online. She couldn't be here, unfortunately, but she should be on the phone. Do we have Tripti with us?
Yes, sir. I am on the call. Can you hear me?
Oh, hang on, Tripti. I will give the guys with the sound guys a second chance to. Yep, I get thumbs up here, so please go ahead. We now have the headline slide in front of us with the headline RSAC Caucus Membership Committee. So welcome, Tripti.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tripti Sinha, a member of the RSAC Caucus Membership Committee and also a member of the RSAC. I come from the University of Maryland, and as we represent the group, as we are one of the operators. Next slide, please. I'll spend the next 5 minutes or so describing to you the functions of the caucus membership committee. There's three of us who serve on the committee, covering Ranj Bar, who is currently the chair, Paul Bixby, and myself. We are appointed by the RSAC as the RSAC caucus membership committee. And we are composed of three individuals. One of us has to be a member of the RSAC. And as I said, we are appointed by the RSAC, and we serve a term of 1 year. Next slide, please. So I'll tell you what we do and what we have done thus far. We began by bootstrapping the RSAC caucus by contacting interested parties who have been in this space for a while. So we began by contacting the old RSAC mailing list members with an invitation to join, and also extended an invitation to other groups involved in this activity, such as the IETF DNS list, DNS org, and the RIPE DNS working group. So our intent is to maintain a continuous stream of new members to the RSAC caucus, and also to manage membership. We do report back to the RSAC about the RSAC caucus membership request and the status of application, because we intend to maintain a continuous stream and keep the RSAC informed. Next slide, please. So to join the RSAC caucus, the requests come to rsac-membership@icann.org. We monitor requests that come into this this email address. And we request that you send a statement of interest if you're interested in participating, and to include your background and relevant expertise and skills. And then we do an evaluation process and forward that to the RSAC for consideration. And then we do return back to the candidate with what the outcome of the decision is. Next slide, please. We meet every other month and to discuss the current requests that are pending and to, at that point, immediately forward the request to the RSAC. There are occasions where there is currently some work item that is underway, and there might be a candidate who is very interested in participating in the work item and has germane experience. So in that case, we would request a special committee meeting to be able to evaluate the request and forward it to the RSAC for consideration. Next slide, please. So essentially, this is the concluding slide that says, if you are interested, please send an email to rsac-membership@icann.org. Please include a statement of interest and your background. So we will continue to issue calls to the RSAC, to the community with the relevant experience. And we also periodically review the composition of the RSAC caucus with the RSAC. And we have our information posted online, and I've included the URL. And I believe that is the end of my portion. Back to you, Limon.
Thank you, Tripti. As you are on the phone, I'll take the chance at this point to stop and see if there are any questions for Tripti or for the membership committee. I don't see any. So thank you so much, Tripti, and we will continue from here. The ongoing work, we have two work items that are, two work parties that are active right now, and they have two respective tasks. One is to work on a document with regarding service expectations of root name servers. And this is something we do in tandem, in parallel with the Internet Architecture Board. And Joe Hare will tell you more about that in just a second. The other one regards root server system measurements. A couple of years ago, around 2009, 2010, if memory serves me, ICANN conducted a root scaling study in preparations for the new GTLD program. And one of the conclusions of that investigation was that it would be good if we have some standardized measurements of the root server system. What we want to look for are trends, and especially by having such trends, we can look for signs of stress in the root server system. And if such stress symptoms should appear, we could address them at an early stage. Now, in order to do that, we need to have measurements that we can compare between the root servers, and that's the task of this second group to find such measurements and then document them. But I, at this stage, would like Joe to speak about the first one.
Good. Good morning. I'm Joe Abley. I work at Dyn. I am not a root server operator, but I am a member of the RSAC caucus at this moment, right? I don't know what that means, Jim. Okay, next slide, please. So this effort, which is described in these slides, and as Lehman has mentioned, is RSAC 001, the target name for the document, is a result of a recognition that we have a history of public documentation for how the root servers behave that is not sufficient for 2014. And this effort is an attempt to try and remedy that situation. We started with no guidance for the operation of root servers. The internet was a different place, a gentler, kindler place. And at some point after that, it was recognized that some guidance would be useful to describe exactly how a root server should work and what it should do. And I believe the first public example of that was RFC 2870. Next slide. So here we have a screenshot from RFC 2870. It's a document that was written in June 2000. It was needed at the time. It was useful. And it's certainly still useful in terms of the historical record. We have one of the authors in the room here. What has been recognized in the 14 years that have passed since this document was published is that some of the advice in this document has not kept up with the ongoing advancements in the general business of how you do authoritative DNS on a large scale. We have things we have to worry about today. Oh, sorry, next slide. That were not things we had to worry about 14 years ago. We have new requirements like IPv6. We have new techniques of how we push authoritative name service out into the internet, like Anycast. We have flash crowds and DDoS attacks that did not exist 14 years ago, at least not at the scale we see today. So the result is that the guidance presented in RFC 2870 has not always aged well. There are sections of that where if you built a root server today that constrained itself exactly to the recommendations in 2870 would not provide adequate service in 2014. So this effort has been is aims to update this information and give people who are customers directly or indirectly of the root server system better guidance as to what they can expect. Next slide, please. So IETF 83, which I believe was held in 2002 in Paris, was the earliest I can remember that there was a sort of vague consensus that the way to update 2870 was a two-pronged approach. It was to identify protocol and technical requirements in the IETF and marry those with operational expectations that could be described better with an RSSEC. So the two-pronged approach here is to specify the baseline protocol requirements in the place where those protocols live in the IETF and to produce something resembling a self-declaration from the root server operators, which would guide people as to what they can expect in the behavior of the root server system. So, for example, to allow people to be able to tell whether what they see in the live production network is what they should expect to see or whether there's some problem going on that can help them troubleshoot and remediate. So 2870 is being updated by the IAB. Marc Blanchet is taking the lead on that document to constrain itself to just those protocol technical points. And the remainder is being put into a document to become RSSEC 001, which is being produced in RSSEC. Next slide. So this document has been a long time coming. It's a long time since we met in Paris. And as Lehman described, there's been a lot of work going on with an RSSEC to restructure the way that the committee works, and that has naturally held up the production of this document. Since RSSEC has emerged as the new shiny additional AC with extra vim, we now have the ability to push this document through. Next slide. So a couple of points about this document. The intended audience is anybody who cares about the root server system, so anybody who depends on it directly or indirectly. It is a technical document. It's not intended for consumption by end users. They're welcome to read it, of course, but it's not clear that they'll get much out of it. The goal here is not to present something which is a constraining document for root server operators, but rather to provide a central reference that will allow individual root server operators to be able to put up their hand and say, our service conforms with the expectations that are described in this document. So it preserves the ability of individual root server operators to control the nature of their own service, but also gives people a shortcut and a centralized set of words which allow that service to be described. Next slide. So I'm going to skip ahead briefly to the status, but here is a preview of the general categories that are included in the document. Each of these headings, you can imagine a series of statements which describe the expectations that users of the system might reasonably have. And really, the only reason why I didn't put all of these points on the slides is, first of all, there's a lot of them, and that would be a lot of slides to read through. And the other thing is that this document is not quite published yet. So we are still in the last phase of the review process, and it's probably premature to put actual text while it's still a draft document onto slides. But and certainly, these categories here describe the areas that this document addresses. Next slide, I think we talk about the status. So on the IETF side, Mark has written this document draft IAB 2870-01 that has been through IETF last call, and from what I saw during that last call process and what I hear from Mark is that the main concern with that document as written is that it refers to an RSEC document which has not yet been published. So that I understand is the principal reason why this document has not progressed to an actual RFC in the IETF. It's being held waiting for the RSEC work to continue. Next slide. So the status of the RSEC document is that, having been written and drafted before and during the RSEC process, the document was already fairly well polished. And in the most recent discussion period that we had in the RSEC caucus, there was a small amount of feedback and suggestions for improvement, which have been incorporated. And the current status is that it's nearing the end of a week-long last call within RSEC, following which we expect to send some sort of recommendation to the RSEC exec to publish, perhaps with modifications suggested during the last call, or perhaps those will be rolled in before we send it to the exec. That we can talk about the process internally, I guess. But the general message here is that document is almost ready to go, and we expect the RSEC exec in the next week or two to be given the opportunity to make a decision on it based on the caucus's recommendation. Next slide, if there is one. Oh, that's not me. So that was RSEC 001.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. So since we don't have any of the document leaders for the other document here in Los Angeles this time, I will give this one slide overview of what it's all about. As I mentioned, this pertains to the root scaling study that was undertaken a couple of years ago. And what we're trying to do in this document is to detail a number of specific measurements that we will ask the rules of operators to undertake in order to create long-term statistics that we can look at to see if the system starts to show any sign of stress. Of course, the primary reason for wanting to look at this is the new GTLDs, because we're now changing the root zone at a pace that we haven't been near until now. So just in the past year or two, we've kind of doubled the size of the root zone, and before that, changes were few and far between, and the only changes were the existing TLDs who made changes to their name servers or so, possibly adding IPv6 addresses. So the pace, the change tempo has changed dramatically for the root zone, and we want to have some statistics in place to be able to look for long-term trends here and see how it all changes. And of course, also the environment that we operate the root servers in is changing. As Joe mentioned, we are seeing new types of attacks, new patterns of usage, and there are things that could possibly generate stress on the root server system, so we want to have some statistics to be able to identify signs of stress. Just to mention what the things that we intend to measure, this is also a document that is fairly mature. So I, just like Joe did, I will give the headlines of the document. We're looking at the latency in the distribution system. This means the time from when the root zone is published by VeriSign, who edits it, until it's actually in operation at the end nodes that provide the service to the internet. There is a chain from VeriSign to the end node which the zone has to propagate through. And we're looking at the delay time here. The size of the overall root zone, how the zone content, the number of records grows over time, so that we have something to relate the other curves to. Of course, we're looking at the number of queries. How many queries does the root service system receive? And we want to be able to see that in total for the entire aggregated number of servers out there. So we're collecting this, or intend to collect this, at each and every server. And then we'll also look at the query and response size distribution. How big packets do the servers respond with? Because that has turned to be an interesting property of the DNS traffic, especially in relation with DDoS attacks, and it also has some impact on the connectivity needed, on the network bandwidth that we need in front of these servers. We also look at R code, stands for response code, when the DNS servers respond with a message back to the client. They set various status codes in these messages, and looking at these can give us some ideas of what's going on. And also the number of sources. Now, the source address identifies a unique client, and we want to see whether we have few clients or many clients, and how that looks in various parts of the world, and how that changes over time. So these are the properties that we are going to recommend as it looks right now. The root servers collect various types of statistics. This is just one picture from one of the servers. This is Kroot, operated by the RIPE NCC in Amsterdam. They have public statistics for their root server. And this is just a picture of the query load of their aggregated system. You can see in the ledger to the right the various instances where they operate. They use the Anycast technique to deploy in many sites, and to the right is the list of sites, and then you can see the query load aggregated over all these sites. This you can find if you click your way from the root server information webpage, root-servers.org, not .net. .net is used for the actual service. .org is used for information about the service. And here, all the root server operators are listed. Not all of them provide public statistics, but some do. And you can also find information about the IP addresses, autonomous system numbers, and other operational issues that they want to provide information about. So this is a collected portal to reach the various root servers. And I believe that there are also ways to contact the various operators if you would like to reach us somehow. That actually brings us to the end of my presentation. Are there any questions or comments? All peace and quiet. That's how I like it. I like it when it just continues to operate and just works fine. So, unless there are any comments, I think we are done for now. If you wanted to speak to me or any one of my colleagues, we are here, several of us, for the entire week. Just come and talk to us. I'm always happy to talk to people about root service and how it works and everything around that. And also about RSAC, of course. So, thank you, everyone.